life might hand you budgets, schedules, family, and responsibility. But driving shouldn't be just another chore.
We're here to help you find a car you love. Something that fits your budget and your needs, but is fun to drive and makes you look back. I'm Todd.
I'm Paul, and this is the Everyday Driver Car Debate.
We're back. Thank you, guys. So many of you have been writing in on the podcast. We keep asking for you to write in, and oh, are you writing in?
We've done it to ourselves.
We have. It's great. It's fantastic.
It's a great thing. We're getting amazing emails. Mm-hmm. Like I said before, the one from Stonehaven in Scotland was so cool to hear from people.
Totally. We're hearing from people literally all over the world, which is great. We thank you. We actually have all of the analytics to see all the unbelievable cities you guys are listening from. Thank you for that.
Yeah, it is cool to see that.
We're seeing lots of good car debates. We're also seeing lots of really good commentary on our TV episodes that are currently playing on Velocity.
Yes, thank you
for
that,
really
by the
cool.
way.
I'm glad
good
it's
good emails,
out there.
People are tweeting at us, hey, I caught the episode and here's my opinion.
Totally,
just
totally,
love
which
seeing
is great.
That.
Thank you for that. Just so you know, coming up in this podcast, this is a Topic Tuesday. Hey, happy Tuesday to you. We have a Topic Tuesday trying to figure out, how do you kind of explain this car disease to friends and family? How do you do that?
This is a question from Austin S. on Facebook.
Yeah.
And I think, Austin, that you meant it to be a quick thing, but I decided to turn this into a Topic Tuesday for Todd and
I like it.
I think there's more to this than you think there is.
And I don't think we're going to solve it, but we're going to theorize that a little bit. So we have that. We also have a car debate coming up. Of course, that'll be after the break. We have a car debate coming up for Blake riding in from L.A. He has a lot of interesting cars in his garage, but he's looking for something else interesting to put in there. And many social media questions are at the back end of the podcast.
It's great.
That will happen as well.
No,
it's fantastic. We've asked, and I love the variety of questions we're getting now. And we have exceptions, but generally we try to not cover car debates in that range. We cover all kinds of other stuff. There's some really cool stuff coming up in this podcast for that.
Yeah, for sure. And speaking of TV, this episode 6, so this is the final new episode for season 3 coming up Saturday, August 11th, 2018, 7:30 Eastern time in the morning. But this is a couple of guys take the new Rubicon JL off to Moab, because the reason we did that was the Easter Jeep Safari is, of course, right around Easter time, and that car was there. And so the FCA press fleet, they called me and said, hey, we realize you guys are in Park City.
Yeah, we're coming back.
The new Jeep is right there. Do you want me to drive it up to you?
Yeah.
And we said, yes, please.
And then we went, what are we going to do with it? Well, let's drive it back down to Moab.
Let's promptly turn around, drive it right back.
And this is our adventure episode for this season. We try to do an adventure episode for every season. And the common thread in most of those is Paul and I put ourselves in a situation we aren't normally in. First season, it was drifting.
Yeah.
Last season, it was lemons racing. This season, it was, I've never off-roaded. Have you ever off-roaded? Let's go off-roading. So it's actually very fun. My son went along, and so did Chance. So it's an interesting foursome of us just having a ball. So that's going to be a really fun episode. But meanwhile, that is coming this Saturday. You're right. But meanwhile, this Friday, if you have not seen any of this season, it will be available on both Vimeo and Amazon. So that will be premiering there, and that will release one a week. And I actually want to clarify one thing real quick on Amazon. We've gotten a couple of questions about this.
Oh, I'm glad you're taking the time.
And I admit this is a bit confusing. I kind of feel like Amazon's done it to themselves, so I want to explain it. Amazon Prime, you may know this, but you may not. Amazon Prime is Amazon's equivalent to Netflix. It is Amazon's streaming video service.
Yes, yes.
It is, honestly, if you look at the numbers, it is a bonus you get when you actually did Amazon Prime to get free shipping. I mean, like 75% of the people that do Amazon Prime do it for the free shipping.
That's the only reason,
So then you get video as a result. Now, a lot of people know about Amazon Prime as a video service because of Grand Tour, because when you spend, wait for it, $250 million to get the rights to a show, $250 million with a B.
You can eat. You can go to dinner on that.
You will eat well.
You can pay some people with that.
Yes. Clarkson will not be punching anybody for not getting a good steak when you're getting $250 million.
Sorry.
What?
Wow,
too
you
soon?
Went there.
Too soon? I don't think so.
No, it wasn't too
anyway,
soon.
Anyway, so when you get $250 million, there you go. So Amazon, like Netflix, creates a lot of their own original content. But unlike Netflix, Amazon also has pretty much anything you want to watch.
Yes,
any
right.
old movie, any new movie, it's all on
and
there.
And it's ever expanding. Every time I go to my feed, hey, here's the new movies we added.
The difference is Netflix doesn't have these two ranges. Netflix, if you pay the fee, everything on there is free.
Right, right.
But with Amazon, you can get on there and there's tons of stuff. This is where it's confusing. Amazon Prime is the name of the video service. Now that you're on Amazon Prime, there is stuff that is listed as Prime.
Mm-hmm.
Just to confuse you further, which means now that you're here, thanks for coming. This is the stuff you can watch for free.
This is all
but
included.
But then there's tons of other stuff right. that you can rent. And trust me, I have a 9-year-old, and you wouldn't believe some of the stuff that we just randomly find to watch.
I like looking at your feed when I come over to your house. Like, oh, yeah, right.
It's unbelievably varied, yes.
He's been watching.
But all of the new stuff, like the stuff that just came out, is almost always an extra fee mm-hmm. to rent or buy.
Yes.
99% of that stuff, unless it happens to be something that Amazon created, you have to pay an extra fee for.
Right.
I say all of that because our first season of TV is on Amazon Prime and is free, listed as Prime, because that content's more than a year old now.
Sure.
Our second season is on Amazon Prime, the streaming service. I'm trying to be clear about this, but it is an extra fee because it's newer content.
Right, right.
So there's been a couple of questions about this, trying to understand the separation there. Eventually, our seasons will all, I guess, they will all time out and become just free streaming stuff. When they're a year or so old, that will happen.
Sure,
but
sure.
in the short term, if you want to watch them now, they are an extra rental fee. Now, we're doing the discount thing where you can get the whole season for cheaper than if you got individual episodes, or you can get the individual episodes. You can rent them. You can buy them. All of this is available. So season 3 begins this weekend on Amazon Prime. We did Amazon because, let's be honest, more people are on that than want to be on Vimeo. People
yes,
are just aware.
Yes.
If you're international, you can get Vimeo, though.
I was going to say.
The prices are the same.
Right, right. And honestly, guys, we couldn't do it without our
Absolutely
presenting
not.
Sponsor, Covercraft, alongside Griot's Garage, mm-hmm. Auto Tempest, and Brush Hero. And again, you've heard me say this before, if you use the code EVERYDAY for both Covercraft and mm-hmm. Griot's Garage, Covercraft will give you free shipping, Griot's Garage will give you 10% off your order, which is pretty cool. And a lot of you have written to us and just said, hey, thanks, I needed mm-hmm. this, I needed a new cover. I've never considered a cover, and thanks for the code, because
yeah.
it pushed me over the edge.
Yeah.
And they see it on their end for their analytics. When every day comes through with the order, mm-hmm. they actually see that, and so that's a good thing for continuing sponsorship.
My wife's becoming a believer in that sunshade. Took her a while, but now that we're in the
it's
heat
awesome,
of the summer,
isn't it?
She's like, let me find the sunshade, because it does make a big, big
yeah.
difference. So that's going on. Oh, hey, by the way, big announcement. We've been waiting, but here's the real announcement. Are you listening? Do I have you? Are you here?
I think you do.
You want to win a mini? Would you like to win Spot the Mini? The raffle is now live.
It's pretty cool.
If you go to our website, everydaydriver.com, right there on the homepage, about halfway down, there are all kind of links to the raffle page. It is $10 a ticket. I'm going to try to cover the stuff that may be your primary questions, even though it's covered on there as well. It's $10 a ticket.
Yeah, yeah.
This raffle goes through the middle of September. We're going to announce the winner probably last week of September. If you're coming to the meetup in October, maybe you take your mini home. I'm just saying.
Drive
that's
your mini
possible,
home.
Possible. But it is $10 a ticket. You can buy as many tickets as you'd like. If you are involved in this raffle, let's say you win this raffle. If we do future raffles, you can still enter in those. There's no restrictions on this.
Right.
Okay?
Yes. And I think the big caveat here is this is an experiment for us. This
is
our first
test
one.
Case. Absolutely it is.
Which
yes.
is hence the mini.
Yes, absolutely. We figured the mini was a small enough reality to try this out. We'll be really transparent with you guys through the whole process. Our intention is we would like to. This is the idea we had. When I sold my FRS, mm-hmm. we were a little yeah. bit bummed. I was a little bit bummed that it didn't go to somebody that was already following the show.
Yeah, yeah.
And I wanted to figure out a way to kind of make that always be the case. When you and I get rid of one of our long-term cars, we wanted to go to one of you guys.
Right, right.
So this is where we came up with the raffle idea. If the Mini proves successful, and what we're doing in all of these cases, the Mini is the starter, there will be a minimum number of tickets. If we sell a minimum number of tickets, which for the Mini will be 500 tickets, if we sell 500, the Mini's going to somebody.
It's pretty cool.
But
I'm actually hoping this works and,
I do too,
and
but
goes
if,
through.
But candidly, if we sell 200 of tickets and it doesn't happen, then we're just going to refund all the money and keep moving on and go, that was an experiment.
You'll also see a deal on the page there. So obviously $10 a ticket, but if you buy six, it's $50.
That's true.
So if you buy a block of six tickets, mm-hmm. then it's only $50. I mean,
I have no idea how this is going to go. I have no idea.
It could be somebody wins a mini for $60 or $50
yeah.
or $10 or
Who
something.
Knows? And who knows?
Suddenly, I mean, maybe it's a car for somebody's 16-year-old as mm-hmm. they're starting to drive or who knows? There could be all kinds of reasons.
It could be,
plus, it's the pickup truck.
Totally.
I'm telling you, when you're following the Mini, you can look through it and see the giant speedometer if you're ever doing follow footage for whatever
reason. If you ever have
reason.
A reason to drive really closely with
saying,
the hatch open, you'll see the
really
speedometer.
Useful yeah, for that.
It really
that
is.
Speedometer. I don't think they were thinking of that.
They weren't.
That team didn't think of that. They didn't think I was going to look at that.
You're right. We got extra benefit. You can tell how fast you're going without looking inside your own car. That's quite impressive.
Yes. So go to the page there. But there's also, I wanted to mention this before, and that is the Patreon page for Patreon creators.
Sure. Yeah.
And we have put this out there before, but I don't think we've mentioned this for probably a year-ish, somewhere in there.
Yeah, it's been a while. We mentioned it last time.
It's been a while. If you are able and want to support the show, that is where you can go, our Patreon page on Patreon.com. So go there and you can find the various levels. Mm-hmm. And essentially, it's turned in, like you said last time, the Everyday Driver Board of Directors.
Just
the,
about,
the folks that jump onto our monthly hangout calls, and that is on Zoom, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, yeah.
And really, it's more of kind of an inside to what Todd and I are thinking next for, say, the film or what's coming for the next season. And we talk cars, and it's, you know, we hear from you guys more in a close way, and we appreciate your input even closer.
Yeah, it's very cool.
So and that's just to support the show. And like I said, it's going right back into production. That's where our headspace is at.
Completely.
You've delivered all the episodes, which I'm so thrilled. Yeah. And now we're transitioning into season four, even though we haven't quite finished with season three.
Well, and I just shot a long term on my wife's Cayenne. I've got another long term on the Lotus coming. We've got other fast blasts in the can. We've got all kinds of stuff that's not even TV that's still happening.
I've got the Expedition to do and the next long term on the GTS.
And by the way, in case you didn't know, we're actually raffling off a car.
Can't
Wouldn't it be crazy if we did that once a year? That's what we'd like to do. Maybe we'll do it actually once a year. That would be nuts. Anyway, thank you guys for being with us. Let's actually try to tackle this topic Tuesday. Convincing your friends about the car disease. This is the question.
Well, Austin's particular thought here was, how do you convince your friends that driving can be fun and the cars you don't you drive don't have to be boring and strictly the point A to point B device? Which is a lot of people.
And the appliance thinking,
I want to start out, Austin, by this. It's a can of worms, I know. I realize this, but it's about football and it's about sports in the South.
Okay.
I was at some friend's house this evening and having some dinner, and they're from Alabama, Birmingham.
Okay.
And so they got to talking about football with another guy that was there, and he's from Austin. And they started to talk football because it's this barely, we're on the cusp of the training season and going into not just the college football, but the pro season. And so the conversation went back and forth, and then the school rivalries kicked in.
Of course.
Michigan got brought up. All the schools in the South, I mean...
Well, and in the South, football is borderline religion.
Oh, my gosh.
It genuinely is.
So all these schools got brought up, and they were comparing a lot of quarterbacks and, you know, new guys. And
you zoned out and looked at your watch.
I did. I had glassy eyes, and I was looking down at my watch thinking, but you know what? These guys are into that. Because, conversely, they have shown interest when I start talking cars, but I can tell.
Yeah.
Their eyes start to glaze
over. At some point, you lose them.
Say, okay, so yeah, you've got to, all right, that's what you're shooting, okay. And I'm going, no, it was so special with this car. You don't understand. And I think, Austin, that's where you're coming from.
Mm-hmm.
So to start with, you've got to determine if there's a flicker of interest. What are the ingredients that we're working with here in your friends? Are they even remotely interested, or is it just simply a device? Do they ignore the thrill of going around a corner and nailing an apex, or is that still just a chore, or is it kind of frightening, or is it
good question,
all those kinds
good
of things
question,
that's the baseline. Because if there's no interest, I mean, as my mom always said, you can lead a horse to water, right?
Can't
make him drink. And so you've got to say, all right, if there's an interest, that's something that you can nurture and encourage. But on the other hand, me with college football, I'm going, guys, I don't know a whole lot about what you're talking about.
Yeah.
And, you know, I live here in Utah. Of course, there's the BYU football team and Utah, the Salt Lake Real team, but there's not a pro football team.
Yeah. Well, yeah, Real is soccer, and you've got BYU versus the Utah,
University
of Utah.
And
that's the big rivalry here. Yeah.
There's that here, certainly. And then there's, you know, I went to a visual arts, visual communication
you didn't
college.
Exactly have a football team.
No, that was...
The Arts Center Easels. Who are we?
What
are we doing?
Yeah, exactly.
There you go. Yeah.
I don't know. So I don't have a background. I'm just coming from a different place, but I totally respect others who are coming from a completely different place. And they like cars, but one guy was like, I miss my pickup truck. I'm like, yeah, I bet you do. You're
sure you do.
Spending your summer in Park City and I live in Austin. So I definitely get it. And so I just wanted to caveat that by saying everybody's got their interest level. I really tried to keep up. I was doing my best, but they did leave me in the dust.
Of course they did. Well, but actually, you've touched on the part of this I wanted to talk about with Austin and in general. See, Austin, what I wonder about this question is, are you dealing in the situation with people who genuinely don't get it. Are they asking you why you like cars? Are we that far down the road?
Right, which is the difference.
And I actually think that does happen. I mean, it's happened to me before. People are like, oh, you like cars. That's cool. I have an insert car they don't care about here. And then and often mm-hmm. I have a Prius. It's the best car I've ever owned. And my follow-up question is, what cars have you owned? But anyway, but no, seriously.
Who else is competing?
But exactly. I'm telling you. But Austin, here's my question is, are they coming from, and I don't mean that to be combative, but are they coming from a lack of interest that's that far down? Are they mm-hmm. actually asking you to justify it? I'm going to start there.
You mean justify his own position are of they, why?
Are they asking you why?
Like, defend thyself.
Versus saying, oh, no, I don't know if I like cars that much. Maybe I'd be interested. Forget that. Like, we're further down the road than that
sure.
to a place of just, why do you like cars so much? Mm-hmm. And I don't mean it as a combative question. They're genuinely asking because they don't get it.
Sure.
So
sure.
I want to start there because the biggest place to start there is this. And you've already touched on it, Paul, with football. I joke about it with watches. This friend that's talking to you, what is their thing?
Right.
What
right.
is it? What is it? I don't know. I have no idea. You know, it could be art. It could be watches. It could be,
travel
accessories, travel, whatever it is.
Sure.
What is their thing?
What is their hole down which to pour money?
Yes. And what is the thing that once you start getting them talking about it, they're gone. Here's the next half hour.
Find out what that is mm-hmm. first? Is that kind of where you're going?
Especially if they're friends of yours, you probably know.
You probably already know, yeah.
And so my point is, use that as a touchstone reference.
Yeah.
What do you like? I'll give you two examples that I don't get, but I know people love. I don't get golf.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I went on a cruise recently with my wife and son. They had a blast, and I could not wait for us to be done.
Still love the stories from the cruise ship.
My wife and son
was
had
howling.
So much fun. And my wife and I had like a real like crisis of faith moment when it was done because she was like, how did you not like that?
Yeah.
And so we had to have like one of those, okay, you're married and you're having a talk. We had to have a talk about the cruise.
Right, right.
Because she didn't – I tried very hard to walk this line of not taking anything away from their enjoyment. I was thrilled they enjoyed it.
Right. There's no reason to be the stick in the mud over here.
But I wasn't enjoying myself.
Sure.
Okay? But my point to you here, Austin, is find out what your friends like and then equate it to that reality.
Mm-hmm.
And it's almost better if they like something that they're really passionate about that you don't care about. And it's not to be slapping them back, but it's just going, this excites you. And I'm going to go further into the driving part in a minute, but try to connect on that base human level of what's the thing that just you want to go do that?
Sure, sure.
Because
yes,
they may not understand why, but driving can be that for those of us listening to this podcast. I don't get watches, but yet
well, I get watches.
I know you do, but yet I have enough of an intellectual understanding to see the reasons people like them.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I understand intellectually the reasons people enjoy golf. I don't connect with it at all.
Yeah, and you and I have talked about team sports a lot too, just based on our own
growing
up.
That's not who you and I are. That's true.
I was on the swim team in high school, and I played water polo, so that was definitely a team sport. But definitely, you know, from a swimming standpoint, it's along the lines of race car drivers. You're on a team, but really the team is the guys taking care of your car. You're just running a second car over here with four guys taking care of your car. It's still kind of an individualistic sport.
Yeah.
Kind of. I mean, it's a fine line, but, you know, baseball, football, soccer, all those kinds of things mm-hmm. are definitely more so.
Sure, yeah.
And so just our own experiences growing up, I think, have shaped you and I and our ability and thoughts about them. But touching on what you were saying, that friend that is mm-hmm. into whatever it is, start to dive a little deeper. There is the, you know, the first level, and then when you get down to a little bit of minutia on why you're into that particular thing mm-hmm. about, okay, so what's your favorite brand? You're into travel or you're mm-hmm. into, mm-hmm. you know, an airline or a favorite city or something like that. Well, tell me why. Tell me a little bit more about what that feeling is because mm-hmm. that's what it comes down to for all
sure
of us.
Sure it does. Yeah,
is
yeah.
the driving feeling.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what it does for us. And so that's where I'm at with, before we dive into a few other things like racing events and just getting that friend in a hot car with an excellent or pro driver.
Yeah, yeah.
Just seeing what modern, normal tires can do, street tires, mm-hmm. is astounding in the hands
Agreed.
Of an excellent amateur
Agreed.
Pro driver.
Yeah.
It's astounding. When I
totally
went with Ron Simons on the ring,
yeah.
and you went with him on Spa in a Lotus 211.
Yes.
up Eau Rouge, around Raidillon. Holy cow. And these are street tires.
Yeah, totally.
Unreal.
Well, and along those lines, the second step, after you've kind of had this first conversation, Austin, I think is to find out your friend's car experience. Because as we've talked about, this led us on the CUV discussion one time. We talked about the fact that if your experience with cars is you grow up riding around in the family's large SUV or minivan, and now you get to drive and you drive the large SUV or minivan, and you've never driven something small, light, focused, etc., you have no life experience that tells you, I could be in something different. So what do you buy? You buy something large.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Similarly, if you have never been in anything that has kind of a car passion to it, if all of the cars that person has experienced have been appliance style cars, then of course the cars are appliances.
Sure.
Of course they are.
Sure.
You know, I look at the cars that I had growing up that were just mostly they were Caprice Classics because my dad was inexplicably obsessed. But
Jaguar E-Types and Caprice Classics.
Somebody asked me recently, when did you get
Seeing
into
it.
Cars? And I realized I was that kid long before YouTube existed. I was that kid that knew all the stats. I would have been a terrible YouTube kid. I was a kid who knew all the stats between like 13 and 16. I knew everything.
Right.
Everything. And then I promptly, starting at 16, was in a progression of mostly terrible, boring, ignore them cars.
Sure. Yeah.
And it kind of killed that part of me a little bit. It went very, very subterranean. And then I got that 300ZX, and now I had a sports car and had a car I loved, that a car I lusted after, and it just came roaring back. That was the beginning. If you've never had that car kind of passion to begin with, and you've then had boring cars, try to see if you can get that friend in an experience. And I'm not talking a go scare them experience. I'm just talking about get them in something that is totally different. To understand, you can do lots of things. You could have an average refrigerator. You can have an average watch. You can have an average stereo. It's when you get with the person. I'll go with stereos for a second. You get with the person that knows stereos, an audiophile, and they go, let me share with you what a really good stereo sounds like. Or a person that knows wine, or pick your whatever.
Sure.
You can be at any level, at the kind of entry level, this is fine experience. But if you get with somebody that knows and can bring out the good stuff, that starts to shape your perception of, oh, I didn't know we could go this way. And cars are like that.
Austin, every person has some sort of connection to cars. And the connection can be what your parents drove, good or bad, a cool uncle, a cool friend of your dad's. I remember riding in a 76 XKR, XJR, that my dad's friend, he was a real estate guy named Bob Wolf in Fort Collins, and Bob had the coolest cars and a in-car cell phone and all this cool stuff.
When it was the one like bolted to the chassis.
Bolted with the curly Q antenna at the back of the glass and... It just seared into my mind. I was going, you are so cool. And then another friend who, he had a Dodge Laser, I think it was.
A Dodge Laser.
Something like
I
that.
I love it.
Unbelievable. And I thought that was the fastest, coolest car ever. And he took me for a ride and just burned into my little brain. And so I come back to, if you and I can do that for kids as well.
Sure.
Absolutely, because you never know what that'll kindle. But anyway, back to the thing in their life that made an impression, good or bad, and try to start digging into that. It was a bad experience. Why? What happened? Were you in an accident? Were you, what was that? Or if it was a good experience, why was it? And then start to nurture and kindle that. And of course, we're making the assumption that there is a flicker of interest.
And they may not.
If there's not, then I'm not going to say you're wasting your time. But on the other hand, if you're not into something that your friend is, there's nothing they can do to convince you, and that's fine. You can just...
I'm not being swayed on watches. This is fair.
I get that.
But that's the thing.
Right.
Austin, Paul and I are talking about, as we do, we're not talking about the same thing. Paul and I are talking about the two layers of this. Layer one is your friend is just going, I don't get it. Why do you like cars? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Layer two is, I kind of like cars. Either one of those, the first one, you can at least explain yourself and be like, let me put it into your terms. The second one is there are so many layers, and we could go for the next hour. We won't, but we could. About if you have a friend who's kind of interested, how do you get them more interested? And I would just say it is that car life experience. And that could be autocross. That could be karting. Go to like a K1 speed indoor electric karts. Have they done that? Because
that's a great place. Yeah.
Even that, which isn't expensive and doesn't feel like real cars, but you can feel so much of what it's doing that in certain cars starts to translate back out of the karts into real life but it's so different. If your friend drives a Suburban and you take them karting, these two things do not relate.
But
you can then talk about the karting and be like, some of that experience is available in a sports car.
I'm going to leave you with another thought, Austin, and that is appealing to your friend in terms of car control. And what Todd is saying is an excellent way to get there. And what did it for you is ownership.
Yeah,
but what
if
you can't afford to get there quite yet?
Totally.
So you're, you know, maybe it's a gift certificate and you guys go to a school and you get them in a, here's what a car can feel like at the hands of a person that knows what they're doing.
Sure.
Whoever that is.
Yeah.
And then maybe they join you at a one day, you know, track, you know, event,
if possible,
HPD
sure.
event, something like that. And you step by step, maybe you go to a race together and you appreciate more things about whatever it is.
You do one of those Vegas five laps for whatever thing.
Yeah.
We've had a lot of people that have written to us about that too. Yeah.
I mean, that could be compartmentalized in the category of, wow, I'll never get
this
there.
This was an amusement park. Yeah.
You know, but kind of start to relate it. But then back to this car control is, do you want to be a better driver? Do you notice things about your driving that you think, I don't really know how to take a corner properly? And that is just downshifting, coming into second, and taking a right.
Yeah.
I've seen so many people do it terribly. The right over here at Kimball Junction where you and I are.
Oh, gosh, yes.
People do it so poorly.
Well, but you've
and
talked...
And they lose so much speed.
Yeah, I know. You've talked before about the difference between
steering. Exit speed, people.
Yeah, I know.
Come on. I don't care if you have groceries in the trunk.
Minivans are not ready for me when I am behind them. They'll understand why I was a block away when we entered the corner, and now I'm on their bumper.
All over you.
I didn't do anything spectacular.
Exactly.
I didn't even try to get... It's just like, hi, here I am.
I had a different line through the corner.
Anyway, but you've coined this before, and I think it's actually right on. The difference between steering and driving and how we're taught to drive in this country is we're taught to steer.
Yeah. Yeah.
Driving is much more involved and as a result, much more rewarding. But you've got to make that leap.
Ideally.
And not everybody's going to make that leap.
Yeah.
My parents are always going to be steering. Always.
Just pointing the nose in the direction that Google Maps says.
My parents are not drivers, okay? And that's fine, all right? And my wife, I would say, has progressed a lot, as have I, has progressed a lot in the time I've known her.
Yeah,
okay?
She has.
She used to be much more of a girl who was driving point A to point B.
Sure.
And now we have this great section on I-80 here.
Breaks the sport mode button off on your
kayak.
Yes,
she does. She can't figure out why it isn't always on. And I appreciate that in her.
Jabs at it.
But you know, there's a section of I-80 that is these high-speed curves. And she complains all the time about how the people that drive on there can't seem to maintain their speed, which makes me laugh. I love that that's her concern. But, you know, that's the thing is some of us are always going to steer, but if you want to drive, there's a different thing. And we could get into autocrossing and track because we'd go crazy. But I think find out where your friends are and find out, if you will, this is going to sound weird, where do you want to get them to? Is it just – I don't mean this to sound tacky. Are you just looking for a standoff of they now go, oh, okay, I get your perspective, which is fine.
And the end you're talking
– and that may be the case with some of your friends. Or is it people that you're wanting to actually progress because they're kind of curious? Hopefully something in here is helpful. But I do come back to the thing that you always joke about. Everybody has a place they put their money. And I'm going to say it's a place they put their passion, too.
Yeah, yeah.
Find where that is. And almost, if it's something that they like that you don't, Austin, you're almost better off. Because now you can be like, see, I don't get that.
Explain
but you do.
Blank to me.
Exactly.
Yes.
But you get that. I don't get that. So these are our opposing sides, which is great.
I mean, ultimately, if it got people to better car control, I'd love that.
Of course it would. That'd be nice.
Is that aspirational for everybody? Not necessarily.
No, it's not.
That's why we preach tires and all that stuff.
Yes,
but
many other things.
Yeah, just getting them to a place of, you know what? I learned a skill. I'm actually feeling more confident in situations around tractor trailers or on ramps, or I know what to do now.
Mm.
Wow, my world is open. I'm kind of seeing things with fresh eyes. I'm using both hands on the steering wheel. I'm not distracted anymore. All those things you'll notice about yourself.
Yeah. What I find fascinating, and you and I have bumped into this a few times here locally. We'll get into a couple of the groups that we're in, and every now and then somebody will say, yeah, they hear about what we do, and they're like, yeah, I never really got cars, and I don't enjoy driving. And I have to kind of, like, reset my brain when that's said.
I know.
And just go, okay.
Let me take you for a ride?
Well, but no, it's not even that. It's just trying at that point to understand, explain to me why you don't like to drive. What don't you like to drive? What don't you like about it? Not because I'm trying to convince you or change you.
No,
I just want to understand
no.
because that's so not my experience. Let me figure out where you are so we can at least have a common language because the only common language we have is you own a car and so do I.
Right. And that might be the extent of it.
Yeah, totally.
Anyway, well, Austin, thank you for writing. If you've got a Topic Tuesday you think we can dissect and slice the onion very thinly,
yes,
we'd love to hear it.
Look, that piece is transparent.
And if you've got your own car debate, everydaydrivertv@gmail.com, or you can go to the website when you sign up for the Utah Car Meet and enter into the mini raffle.
First weekend of October. There's a lot of stuff going on the website right now.
So go there. On the far right, there's an About tab, and right underneath is the contact button. You can reach us there and love to hear from you. Send us your own story. We will get to the next debate. We've got a quick break. Guys, we're coming right back. This whole car buying process that Todd and I talk about all the time, you think to yourself, why can a car park itself these days, but we have to drive across town to take a test drive if we want to just try out a new car? You might also be asking, why can we all get approved for a mortgage in lightning speed, but buying a new car takes an entire day? And finally, how can a home test service tell my entire ancestry for the past millennium, but I don't get to see the price and it's hidden from me for a new car until I actually buy it?
Hyundai is solving this. They've got the future of car buying here now with their Shopper Assurance program. They'll give you flexible test drives that come to you. How cool is that? Transparent pricing for your convenience. You can know what the car's price is. A streamlined purchase process. You don't have to spend the whole day at the dealer. And even a 3-day worry-free exchange. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for all the information. That's HyundaiUSA.com for their brand new Shopper Assurance program.
Here's some useful car tips you might not be aware of. A coffee filter and a little bit of olive oil can clean your interior. Removing excess weight from your car will improve gas mileage. And you can place your key fob to your chin to increase its range. It's kind of weird, right? Well, here's another tip you might also not know about. TrueCar also helps people get used cars.
That's right. TrueCar isn't just for buying new cars. With their certified dealer network and nationwide inventory of nearly 1 million used cars, you'll enjoy real pricing on actual inventory and a simpler buying experience, whether you buy new or used.
And with TrueCar, users can see what others paid. You know, so you'll know if you're getting a good deal before you buy. They're also more likely to enjoy a faster buying experience by connecting with TrueCar certified dealers. When you're ready to buy a new or used car, check out TrueCar and enjoy a more confident car buying experience. Some features are not available in all states.
This is a big year. The Ohio Lottery's golden anniversary. 50 years of excitement, of growing jackpots and crossed fingers. 50 years of funding for schools, of changed lives and brightened days. 50 years of fun, and that is worth celebrating. So watch for can't-miss promotions, huge events, and new games that will make the Ohio Lottery's 50th year its biggest one yet. Learn more at funturns50.com.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Hey guys, I think I've mentioned this before, but I actually used to host a country music station. We have a new sponsor. It's Wrangler Jeans. And I read the copy and I thought, there's only one way to do this. Deep breath, Wrangler Jeans. You ready? Everybody has a favorite pair of jeans. The pair that fits perfectly and always looks great. The pair you wear out at night, at home, on the couch, at work, wherever. No one knows this better than Wrangler, the authority on jeans. Using their expertise in comfort and durability and applying it to a new line of modern fits and styles. Wrangler jeans are made for the modern day adventurers, the go-getters, the folks who like to keep moving, whether you ride a bike, a bronc, a skateboard, or even drive a car. Classic or modern styles, a range of fits, a price that works for everyone. We've even got vintage re-releases. Wrangler has something for everybody. Visit Wrangler.com and check out their great selections of jeans, shirts, pants, outerwear, all for men and women. Wrangler, denim made for the modern world.
That was proper. Yeah. Blake wrote to us. He's in L.A.
Yeah.
about his wife and baby girl. He's got a three-month-old girl, and they live in the suburbs of L.A., 5 minutes from the canyons of Malibu.
That's a good place to be.
Roads we know well. We actually started out shooting a lot in there. Amazing roads. We discovered a lot about ourselves and our driving, as a matter of fact, Blake.
He has this quarter's tighter than I thought it was. Okay. I was, wasn't for a second, but now I am.
The views are great when you pop out and you're going southbound. You see
the
ocean.
Be careful. You don't go right off the edge there. There are no guardrails.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah. All right, so he says no real time in his life to do track days, but his car hobby exists.
Yeah.
And he drives in towns. He drives on the canyon road, short road trips, cars and coffee meets, and a lot of tinkering. And Blake is the first person that I think has written in who owns a Morgan three-wheeler.
He may be the only person that will write in that owns a Morgan three-wheeler. I mean, here's the thing I love about this current
garage.
We're talking about two very recent cars. His daily is a 2018 Volvo S90. Very cool sedan.
Oh, yeah.
His wife is a 2017 Lexus RX350. These are recent cars on lease. And you look at that garage and you just think, that's very normal car work.
Yeah,
very
great.
Fine choices, whatever.
Yep.
Next to that is the Morgan three-wheeler, which is and actually, I think it was Blake that actually wrote to us when I talked about the Spectrum of Sacrifice, and he said, I got your Spectrum of Sacrifice right here. I have a Morgan three-wheeler, which really does reset the bar. And I'm going to say, because I have a Spectrum of Sacrifice video coming up.
That's going to be great, yeah.
I think the Spectrum of Sacrifice does require you to have doors and a roof. Otherwise, you're in a whole different planet. And that's where the Lotus 211 lives and the Ariel Atom and the Morgan three-wheeler. You no longer K-Rims, have doors and a roof.
Uh-huh.
I think you're in a different category now. But anyway, yeah. But so I love that you've got a Morgan. And you've said this car stays forever.
Which is awesome.
It is.
Oh, man. Yeah. So this Morgan... I love that you laugh every time you drive it.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, I inflate the front wheels with a hand pump. Probably like a, yeah, like a bicycle pump, I'm sure. It was a lot of fun when somebody was asking me. I said, I've got to bail. I've got to go podcast with Todd. And they said, what are you talking about? And I said, well, Blake wrote to us. He's got a Morgan three-wheeler. And they nodded and like they kind of knew.
Like they knew what that was.
They're like,
no.
Wait, what is that?
Yeah.
So I pulled up my phone and here's a Morgan three-wheeler. Yeah. And they go, cool car.
Yeah.
Wow, that's totally different. But what Blake is looking for is something between the Morgan and the Volvo.
Talk about the Spectrum of Sacrifice. Most of the car world is between those two, Blake. This is a wide swath of the world.
So here's the deal. He has written to us that all of these cars are staying. He's adding, that's right, a fourth car to the garage with a garage of past cars that he's driven that include a lot of really nice BMWs, a 95 Chevy Impala SS, a couple of Nissan Sentras SERs, the turbo kind.
Yeah. Those crazy little things.
What else? Volkswagen Golf R, so the 2013 Golf R, but he's had a 2015 M235i. He's had a 98 BMW 740i. He's had, what else? 75 BMW 2002. So
no more BMWs.
He's an enthusiast. Well, I actually have four to consider.
Of course you did. Okay.
But what he's saying is these previous choices have felt too numb and boring for the streets despite their great drivetrains.
Yeah.
M235i and Golf R. We're looking in your direction.
Yeah.
But he says, I actually have fond memories of that Nissan Sentra SER.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a cube. It's just a box. But it was so much fun. And he said,
playful. It's got personality.
Very much so.
Yeah,
and he said, ideally,
yeah.
This next car would be something that excites while still being functional enough that his wife might be comfortable in it.
Yes, because by the way.
Morgan three-wheeler?
I get the impression
more comfortable?
That she takes a wide berth walking around the parked Morgan three-wheeler. I mean, her demeanor, according to Blake, her demeanor is, this is the thing that's going to kill you, honey. That's her feeling on the Morgan three-wheeler.
Yeah, right.
So she's not getting anywhere near getting in it, let alone riding around in it or driving. None of that is happening. He's hoping to find a fun car for canyons, cars and coffee, this kind of thing, that his wife might actually, I don't know, get in or, let's be really crazy, could consider driving.
Right.
But if you think about how fringe, and I do mean that in the best way, how fringe the Morgan three-wheeler is, we need to be in that world, but usable.
Yeah. Well, he says the classics that he might be attracted to, they've got to light up his senses, the smells, the noises, the mechanicals.
Sure.
He said, I don't care about reliability. I don't care about the gizmos, the electronics, and even functionality is kind of a gray area here. Coming back and forth, because he actually suggested things that he's considering are an early 70s Pantera.
Notice that.
And he said, maybe this is a horrible idea, but still, I have a Morgan, so, you know, that's how I think.
Yeah.
But he's considered Alfa Romeo GTV from the 60s or 70s.
Those are cool.
He's considered a 3.2 Porsche Carrera, which I like.
Yeah, the one with the G50 from the late 80s.
Yep.
That's a really cool car.
He's thought of the 987 Cayman, the 997 Carrera, Ferrari F355, but he does kind of double gulp at that engine out
maintenance thing. Yep.
Or something out of left field like a Volvo P1800, any of the Lotus E cars, Elan, Elise, Evora, Jaguar E-Type, Porsche 356, or the, you know, say a pre-75 smog-exempt 911. And he says this budget is complicated because I think what he's saying is I can justify anything that really stirs his heart.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm going to keep it under, I'll say, 70-ish, somewhere
I guess,
there.
Based on his description, I'm guessing, and the stuff that he's listed he's looking at, with like the G50 3.2 Carrera and the Pantera, I think we're dealing in 50 to 70K. I think that's approximate ballpark. But you're right. There's no hard and fast
rule.
That's
a lot of money.
It's a lot of money for a lot of choices.
We get that.
Yep.
We get that. All right. So I've got a list of things, and I think I have the car that you should land on because it is different than anything else. But I'm jumping in with some BMWs. I think you should take a serious look at that 2011 1M.
Okay.
Like that. I love your 356 idea, and I love maybe a 914 to look at, but back to the BMWs.
Okay.
Any E30 M3 that you can afford has
see, that's actually excellent.
The noises, the mechanicals. Who cares about the electronics? Mm-hmm. They're generally reliable. I'll say that with a quavering voice.
Well, but I think most people that drive M3s luckily are living in a world of enthusiasts now where the people that have them, I think, with exceptions, generally drive them and make sure they run right.
Yeah, true.
So it's not just a random BMW that people are, like. I think the E46 is in a problem place in the comparatively.
Oh,
because
sure.
I think the E46 is owned by some enthusiasts that have got money and want it to run, and some people that are just so thrilled to have one, but yet they're slowly running into the ground because they can put no money into it.
Well, yeah.
The E30 M3s, those are driver cars.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if you get one that is in the average, like it may be a 10-footer. It's not pristine when you're up close, but this person drove it and they keep it running well. I think that car, you said your 2002 was a money pit. Unfortunately, I've never heard any other story than 2002's are money pits.
Right.
But I think E30s really... As much as I don't want you in another BMW, I think that may be the only exception to that rule for me. I think that's a great one.
It's up there because I keep thinking about your wife and actually what if the two of you went out to dinner or something in this car. But then I keep thinking about your noises and mechanicals and questionable functionality reliability proclivities.
You'd like a questionable car. We could help you, sir.
I'm back and forth. And if you own a Morgan, a BMW Isetta might be for you.
Who knew? There's who the owner is right there.
But the last
you could double park it with the Morgan three-wheeler and still have space behind. Your wife walk out the garage and be like, what have you done?
Can you imagine? Just paint that visual in your mind. The last BMW I think you should actually take a close look at is the 89 to 91 BMW Z1 with the vertical doors, the doors that drop into the body.
Can you even ship those over here?
I found two of them for sale in the U.S.
Did you really? What are they running?
They're expensive, admittedly. They're like $60,000, but
wow.
Low miles, like 10,000 miles.
It's like BMW does a Wrangler. That's what I've always thought of.
Oh my gosh.
It's like, let's see how many pieces we can take off of this. Keep driving it.
Super cool. The designer was one of the guys that ended up going to design the 986 Boxster, the original Boxster. I like the quirkiness. It's not the fastest, most powerful, but it's just fun.
The doors drop into the tub.
It's a talking point, instant conversation, instant friends.
Yeah.
It could work, but I get they're expensive. So if we're going to spend that kind of money, and you said this Nissan Sentra SER really lit your candle.
Yeah.
How about a 92 Ford Escort RS Cosworth?
Whoa.
It's a box that everybody will fawn over.
Yeah.
They're expensive.
Are they actually even this cheap? Are they in this world? I'm guessing those are six-figure cars, aren't they?
They might be. They might be. But if you shop hard and you put it out there that you're looking. So the 92 to 96 Ford Escort RS.
That's pretty hardcore.
Double wing on the back.
Yeah.
Actually, you might be able to do it. You might, depending on the car. Wheeler Dealers actually restored one, and they sold it for a pretty good amount, but it wasn't $100,000.
Okay.
Because it's a box that everybody who's a car enthusiast will go, what?
One of those showed up. Yeah, one of those showed up. Or, you know what? I love the visual of one of those running the L.A. canyons. And not trying to hoon the L.A. canyons, just running. Just running at like 80% through the L.A. canyons and just making that noise. And there, did that really just go by?
Yeah.
That's cool. I like that. That's interesting. All right.
The last thing, well, it's many thoughts, but it's along the lines of what JDM Legends could provide or Montu Motors in Tampa, Florida.
I see where you're going.
There's Top Rank International Vehicle Importers in Cypress, California, and then finally Japanese Classics LLC in Virginia.
Wow, look at you.
Where you could go get yourself an R32 Skyline GTR.
Yeah.
Talk about different. Mm-hmm. Your wife would ride with you. She might not want to drive it.
Well, she could get in on the driver's side and wonder where the wheel went. That's what would really happen.
Exactly.
I thought I was driving. Nope. Right-head drive.
But I'm just saying, is this your new project? And if it's not, chasing those cars and what they already have on their websites. By the way, I found the Mazda AZ1, the AutoZam, for $16,900 on there that I have to show you.
I shouldn't like that car as much as I do. It's all bad news.
$16,900, and
it's all
perfect.
Bad news.
It's perfect.
Yeah.
Ready to go.
By the way, one of you recently sent me an Isuzu, the Viacross.
Yeah, the Viacross.
On your local Craigslist.
Is that really doing it for
you? It was pristine.
You? Really?
I looked at that ad far longer than I should have. I was like, really? Am I really looking at this?
A particular person.
Apparently, I am that weirdo. That's the particular person that I am, yes.
Blake, last car for you is an Acura NSX. First generation. That's a special, different car that completes your garage.
I like that
one. It's reliable.
Okay.
That's why I came to it. Your wife might even drive it because that was the whole point of an NSX when it came out. Drive it like a Civic or an Accord
totally.
Or wind it up and go have fun at a track.
Okay.
That was the whole point. And that was the offshoot of the JDM cars that I was suggesting. Because those are out there. That's a bit of a wild hair. I get that. But if you want to pull it back, go get yourself an NSX. For $40,000 to $50,000, you can get nice ones.
You can get a really nice one.
Like 92s, 95s.
Yeah. As we're talking here, I just had a thought that kind of surprises me, but I want to put it out here.
All right.
I don't think this is necessarily your car, but Blake, a car I want you to go drive is the current Mustang Shelby GT350, preferably the R.
Oh,
because that is about as modern as it gets. As far, I mean, look at it. It's a one-year-old car, but it has a surprising amount of raw, old-school personality and one of the most unique engines out there right now.
Oof.
I don't know that that's your car, but you're in the price point for it, and I think you should go drive it. That's not the top of my list for you, but I think it's worth it to go give that car a try.
I feel like I suggested too many cars, but they're so...
Now, I see
where
you're going. Most of the ones I went are much older and more raw than that, but that just struck me. If we were talking about a modern car, that might do it, okay? You've listed some interesting things. I really like your Pantera idea.
It's interesting.
Because the thing about a Pantera is you're in the right price point. They're incredibly interesting. They're one of those cars you've got to... I mean, I remember there was a guy that brought a pristine one to the LA Cars and Coffee every week, and it was like one of those where if he could get it chromed, it was chromed in the engine bay.
Yeah.
And it was spotless.
Theoretically reliable. Forward power.
But here's the thing. If you have the ability to just work on it and get what it needs.
Which you might.
And I get that sense from Blake, is that he's willing to just do
sure,
that.
Sure, yeah.
So I see where you are on that, and I like the Pantera. I followed that line of thinking, and I have two other thoughts for you that I don't know you've thought of.
Hmm.
What about a classic? Of course, they're all classic at this point. A Lotus Esprit.
Oh.
Take your pick.
Ooh.
Take your pick. Not known to be the world's most reliable cars, but lay it alongside the Ferrari 355. A breeze to own by comparison. Okay?
I guess.
Seriously.
I'm cowering at the thought of owning a car like that.
So look into the Lotus Esprit. You could go with the little turbos. You could go with the V8s.
Mm.
How recent do you want to go? This is a car with old school raw feeling. You don't see very many of them.
We've got one here. We're going to get in for
a fast totally.
Blast.
We're going to get into like a 70s, a really cool one.
Yeah.
But you can go all the way up to the 80s and 90s, and those cars are still far more raw and interesting than a lot of modern stuff. go shop Lotus Esprits. I think that might be because that's a car that when it's running really well, you can take your wife out for the night to a nice restaurant.
Can't you say that about any car, though, when it's running really well?
But it's just a gorgeous, nice place to be.
Yeah, it is. It's okay. Special. It still turns heads,
so
even though
that's
it's...
that's a real option. Yeah, and then I have another one that's even more into the wild card territory, but the Lotus Esprit made me go there. You know the Nobles?
Oh.
Nobles weren't sold here. They were sold as rolling chassis, rebranded as the Rossian.
Mm-hmm.
The Rossian Q1 is a Noble. I think it was the 500. I could be wrong. Maybe 400 or 500. It was a Noble, okay, from the 2000s. I think it's the 500.
Is it? Okay.
Rebranded here. Shop the Rossian Q1. It's what it's called. Rossion, I believe it is.
Yeah.
So search that. They're around 60 grand-ish. It's a Noble rolling chassis that they put a U.S. engine in, and that feels very similar. Honestly, this is why I went there. It almost feels like it picks up the banner for when the Esprit stopped.
Hmm.
But it's still pretty raw.
Wasn't that the choose-your-own-engine kind of build?
To some degree.
And dealers prepped it for you and dropped
kinda
the
like
engine
when
that
you
wanted.
When you did the Ariel Atom over here, it's the same kind of thing. Which,
right.
Here are your engine choices. Which way do you want to go? And there was one company, I forget who the name is, but one company that was like spearheading bringing them all over here.
Hmm.
So I think that's a wild card out there, but I think that I feel like this is a modern progression of the kind of thing you're looking for. And it's out there. You're not going to see a lot of them. We're going to try to get in one of those as well, actually. So that'll be an interesting discussion point. But the Esprit made me go there because I do feel like it picks up the banner for when the Esprit stopped.
Hmm.
Hopefully, Blake, we found you a car. I'm excited for you to get into something just interesting.
Yeah. He's already owns interesting.
Yes, for sure. But let's get interesting with doors. I'm getting crazy.
Interesting.
You know what? Here's what's crazy. Your BMW Z1 with the doors that drop, that has more creature comforts than his Morgan.
It does, actually.
It's the BMW Wrangler, and it's got more creature comforts than his Morgan does.
I'm still dreaming about that Cosworth, the RS Cosworth, too.
Hey, Blake, if we come to L.A., can we drive your Morgan? I'm just putting it out there. I'm just saying.
He might let us. Put it on camera. All right. Well, like I said, if you've got your own debate, please write to us. We've got to jump to questions now on social media. There's a question from Ben Check Davis on Facebook asking about his best friend's wife wants to teach his wife to drive stick. In his 09 Mazda Speed 3. You know, the one with all the torque steer, right?
Yeah,
I do. The one with the turbo light switchy hairpin trigger turbo. Blam, turbo.
Be careful, this car turns right. That's really what happens, yes.
He's really asking our opinion, do I let this happen? Do I not let this happen? There's going to be a lot of giggling involved. I suppose the wine should happen later.
Later, not ahead of time.
But the giggling
not ahead of time.
Will happen. I'm just wondering, I've been debating this for
have
the afternoon.
Really?
Because...
Okay.
A lot of people, when they're starting to drive manual transmissions, they have the foot spasm on the throttle,
and they
inadvertently just blast it all the way because they're thinking about their left leg and letting the clutch out. And then you say, give it gas, and they give it all the gas.
This has how much gas can I give this? Yeah.
And that car is kind of twitchy.
It's going to go right. It's going to go right.
It's going to pull to the right.
Yeah.
And I just thought, well... maybe, but it depends on if you trust her and she's a good teacher, because that car could work. It could work. I'm just saying, I like that your best friend, I like that it's the wives doing this.
This is the thing that I think is best about
it. That's what
it.
I'm attracted to.
I think it's
to.
Fantastic about it.
But then I think if she gets a twitchy right foot, she's just going to, the turbo's going to come on big way.
It is, for sure.
She's going to learn about what this whole torque steer thing is about.
Big time.
And if she lets the clutch out at all... she's going to be a rocket ship.
Yeah. Ben, I actually...
this is why I'm debating this.
Seriously. Ben, I actually really like this, but I have a couple of kind of baseline questions you need to answer that I don't have here in this question, and that is, first off, does your wife want to learn to drive stick, or is she feeling pressured to learn to drive stick?
Okay, yeah.
If she genuinely wants to learn, I think that's fantastic, and I think she should. And I also think, Ben, I'm saving you a fight. You should not teach her.
Yes.
So along comes her best friend. Now, this is the second baseline question. Has your wife's best friend ever driven your Mazda Speed?
Well, it's his best friend's wife. But still.
Either way.
They all get along.
We're all friends here, is my point.
They're getting along.
Has she ever driven your Mazda Speed 3? I mean, has she driven? And how well can she drive stick? Mm-hmm. If she's comfortable driving the car and has driven it, because she's also going to need to be able to explain the realities of how this car drives. If she's comfortable driving stick and has driven your Mazda Speed 3, I think this is a fantastic idea if your wife wants to do it. It saves you a fight. I'm telling you right now, it saves you a fight, because the two of them will just enjoy this experience by and large, and you will get the benefit of the fact your wife learns to drive stick, which is really cool. So I say yes, but you've got to establish those baseline questions first.
I mean, there's going to be the practice sessions. Once she's up to a particular level, then you and she can go drive together.
Oh, and start in the world's blankest parking lot.
Yeah, and there can't be the curbs with
none of the parking curbs.
It has to be totally blank.
Yes, but because there will be much, like I say, without trying, this car will go right.
And also, people forget to actually steer. I've noticed this.
Oh, yes.
Because you're concentrating so hard on this weird clutch thing.
When you're first starting, no other actual driving goes
on. Look out the front windshield and just point the car in a safe direction, please.
Hopefully, yeah.
People forget. They just stab the throttle, jab at it, and then they forget to steer.
What does this pedal do? Kevin wrote in on Facebook and said, with the AutoZam AZ1 growing in popularity, is there any interest in us driving any K cars? And I'm going to say a resounding yes.
Heck yeah.
I am the small car obsessed guy. There's a part of me that wants to see how much of myself I can fold into a K car. The AutoZam is one of those splinters in my mind. If I had a warehouse with like 10 cars in it, I'd have an AutoZam. I'm
just flipping the computer around here so I can
You're
show
not
you.
My friend right
92
now.
Mazda AZ1, so that's what it was marketed under in the U.S. Yeah. Montu Motors, right now for sale, 16.9. It's a 0.6 liter three-cylinder car. How cool is this thing?
It's incredibly cool.
It's tiny. Look at this interior.
Cool. This,
I wish I could show this to you. Montu Motors, go look that up.
Recently, you and I talked about the Suzuki Cappuccino.
Yes.
And then a couple of you sent me links. That was a rabbit hole I was down for a full day because of the number of those. And the links you sent me, by the way, were even more insidious because they were links of companies in Japan that are ready to ship them over.
Oh, they want your business and they're ready to ship?
It's like this. It was a Japanese website. A website, but the company was in Japan and it was listed in dollars.
So they're ready for orders.
This car, you can – and I'm finding multiple – It was all bad. I didn't even share with you the terrible fever dream I had this day.
Oh, no.
Because there were multiple Suzuki Cappuccinos over there that were like $6,000. And I thought, do I need a Suzuki Cappuccino?
Do I need slidey winter car?
I really don't. My wife would look at me like I'd grown another head. If that got unloaded in the driveway, she'd be like, what has just happened? Is this a car for our son? And I would giggle so much. So, yes, I want to drive some K cars. Those are the top two on my list, the AutoZam and the Cappuccino. But at some point, we'll get into some because they would be a laugh.
I'd like to do the Honda Beat, too.
Drive one of those. There's actually one of those locally. We should see if we can get into
that. Yeah, see if we can get that. EWH105 on Instagram asked, what is the best model name for a car? And also the worst. So I'm going to start with the best.
Okay.
It's all the Lamborghini names. Come on.
Oh, sure, yeah.
The Pagani Huayra.
That's up there, yeah.
The Triumph Spitfire, the Sunbeam Tiger, and all the Aston names and all the TVR names. Those are cool names.
I like all those, okay.
But the worst, I've decided, are the Cimarron,
okay,
the Katera, the Gremlin, and the most recent Japanese supercar that's called the Aspark Owl Supercar. It's electric and it's fast. And
that sounds fantastic.
Kind of ugly and it's terribly named. Aspark Owl.
Do the lights turn all the way around?
I'm sure they do. Something turns
something
all around.
Very owl. Yeah.
Yes.
That's horrible.
Yikes.
Yeah. Shane Mulhern asked, do we run winter tires on our SUVs? Yes.
You betcha.
Yes. All-wheel drive does not solve the winter problem. Tires do.
Nor does weight.
This is true.
Does weight.
Actually, weight can cause winter problems.
Uh-huh.
You started off just fine, but stopping's going to be an issue. Yeah.
All right, what else? Scott D's question, he said, 2020, he's projecting. The show is doing great. Well,
let's hope so.
Yeah. He said, well, will there be a second annual trip to a track, Pilgrimage 2?
Oh.
Where will it be?
Oh, you and I have talked about this.
We have. Have we talked about this on the podcast at all?
I don't think we ever have. We've rarely shared this idea.
It's actually been bandied about rather frequently, as a matter of fact, Scott.
But I would say covertly, because you and I, the thing for us, and a little side note here real quick, the thing for us is, as you know, listening to this podcast, literally this podcast is recorded on the weekend we would have been in Germany.
Okay? Sad to not be there, but we will make it.
So this is the first year in 4 years that we have not gone. we expect to go next year. Just the dates didn't work right this year. Okay. Mm-hmm. So we expect to go next year. I would like to get that trip at capacity happening every year indefinitely. You and I want to do that trip indefinitely. Once that happens, and maybe it'll happen simultaneously, we have a whole other trip idea that we would like to do in Europe that is honestly a little more couple-friendly.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
The problem is that once you start expanding out trips in Europe to be more than just a couple of focused days of driving, guess what? The price starts going up. So our concern has been the actual focused ring and spa trip is expensive enough. Once we add other things, and I want you to tell about the trip. Once we add other things, I wonder people's interest, but maybe we should put it out there and see what people think, because we do have another idea that we could actually execute fairly quickly.
Mm-hmm. The trip is, go ahead and look up Ronda, Spain, Scott.
Oh, it is pretty.
R-O-N-D-A. It's a city in Spain that is in the Malaga province. You can look everything up on the internet about this place. Astounding, mm-hmm. beautiful. It just so happens to be pretty close to Ascari Racetrack in Spain.
Yes, it is.
And the Ascari Racetrack is only a day's drive from Portimão in Portugal.
Mm-hmm.
And these cities have about the same latitude as Los Angeles in the wintertime. Mm-hmm. So guess when we'd be going. Now, the trip has not been planned. The Pilgrimage 1, scheduled programming is still in the works. It's still being planned. And we want that to be very much a thing. But a trip like this mm-hmm. would definitely increase the tourism. Hey, let's go spend a day at the beach. Hey, let's go explore Ronda.
Totally, yeah.
Let's go drive the cars from Spain to Portugal along the coast.
And just so you guys know, this is a trip we have talked about at length with our friends at RSR who do all the car rentals for the Ring and Spa.
Mm-hmm.
They have cars that winter down there. So this would be us kind of piggybacking on an idea they've already built.
We're helping them out.
Seriously.
That's all we're doing.
We talked with them about this at length because they have contacts at Ascari, which of course is a private racetrack, but if you have the right contacts, and they do, you can get on there.
Yeah.
So to expound on what you're talking about, it literally would be a day on the coast of Portugal, which doesn't sound like a bad day at all. be on the beach or explore town or whatever, and then a day on Portimão, and mm-hmm. then a day driving through Spain.
Yeah. Yeah,
in these cars, winding up at Ronda, doing a day of tourism in Ronda. They have a crazy bridge. Look it up. It's this medieval city with a crazy bridge.
It's gorgeous.
They have a thing. My wife will not be doing this. They have a thing where you can climb from the bottom of the canyon up the side walls up under the bridge. You can do climbing tours. I've looked this up. It looks fantastic.
That might be all you.
I am all about that.
I think climbing is to you like watches is to me.
It is. You're like, I'm not going to do that, but I respect that you like it.
Boy, high and really that's all you're connected to, huh?
But here's the thing. You enjoy Ronda, Spain for a day, and then you get a day on Ascari. Now, the trip I've already broken down, you can see, is the better part of 5 days and not inexpensive.
Yeah.
This is why we haven't kind of put it up on its feet yet. But all the pieces are there. It's really kind of the thing where if we had enough interest, we would go, let's get this rocking. Because it would be like a February, March trip.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas Pilgrimage 1 is, the fall.
Right. We'll call it late summer fall. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. All right. That's got to happen. We need a reconnaissance trip, I think, first.
It's only money, right? Yeah.
No kidding.
For sure.
All right. What else did you find on here?
Mystic Negro asked a really good question. He asked a question about repetition, for lack of a better way to put it.
Oh, sure.
So here we are making these episodes. We try to make them with a certain, and you may not even know this, but all of our work has a certain structure to it. All of our episodes, all of our even YouTube content kind of has a certain structure. Now, it's a loose structure, but we put things in a similar order and that kind of thing. I want to remind you that Paul and I don't work with scripts.
Correct.
We have talking points,
mm-hmm.
but you and I sit down and it's very much like an improv.
Yeah.
For lack of a better way to put it. You and I are actually working without a script. We have points we've made from – because we typically get at least a day of driving before we do our interviews. So we've had some soak time with the cars.
Sometimes it's like – turn the key, baby.
Yeah, exactly.
And you're
going. You have 10 minutes.
Let the thoughts flow.
This happens. And some of those fast blasts are crazy how they work well, but you're right. And that's the thing about the Moab trip. It was just like, well, here we go. But anyway.
Exactly.
But we aren't working with a script.
Exactly.
So we have our talking points and we just go. But then from an editorial perspective, it's the same way that any documentary on the planet is done. The structure is built in editorial. It's not built on the front end with a script. His question is, does that get boring?
Mm.
Or have we just kind of survived well enough, which is a fair question, survived well enough that it hasn't had a chance to get boring? I want to speak to that on two levels. I want to have a well-oiled machine with post-production before I'm worried about getting, this has gotten boring and let's get crazy. I want it all to work really well, and it does work really well. Here we are in season three, and a lot of the stuff, it's cutting together well. The pace has increased. Chance is helping me with assistant editing stuff. You've been helping me some. Mm-hmm. We've gotten the cadence going really well. What's nice is we have the opportunity to break that cadence at least one a season with these adventure episodes.
Yep.
Which don't have a structure like anything else. We just have this pile of footage, and we go, where's the film in this? When you're comparing a couple of cars, this section talks about handling. This section talks about performance. This section, we got to wrap this thing up. When it's an adventure, it's just like, I don't know, which is actually really fun, honestly, because we get to find the story and find the stuff that's fun and call away the other stuff and hopefully end up with a really cool piece. So that's the stuff that allows us to branch out. As we get bigger, we hope to be able to do more of that because we'll be doing more episodes in general. And I'm going to go a crazy tease that you don't know I was going to tease.
Oh, no.
I'm not going to divulge here, but you and I have another really strong idea for a TV show.
Yeah, we do.
That is very different than what we do now, but is still very Cars. Mm-hmm. And we hope at some point to make that a reality. We'll see. That would be a totally different structure. So we're always thinking George is actually Mr. Nico's real name. George, thank you for writing in. And so I guess I'm kind of all over the map on your question, but there's the headspace.
Dried Up Fob on Instagram asked about downshifting. How high do you blip the throttle? Says, I was having issues with over revving. Any insight would be helpful. Well, yes, of course, there's plenty of places to find out, you know, the technique online, which I would say is a follow-up. But the great way to do that is when you know a particular speed, because it depends on the car.
It varies car to car incredibly.
So let's start with second gear and go the speed that you think you will be wanting to go at, you know, say you're coming into a corner. I want to be going 30 miles an hour coming up to this corner.
Okay.
Well, drive in second gear at 30 miles an hour, and where is the needle on the tack?
You could unpack it that
Go
way.
Look.
I see that, yeah.
Where is it at 40? Mm-hmm. Where is it at 50? Are you redlining at that point?
Mm-hmm.
And then when you are downshifting, then you know, okay, at this speed, I need to rev to just above that figure that I remember seeing as I was driving along in second gear, at 30, at 40, whatever, and I kind of noted where that was. So you want to just go past that a little as the clutch engages. And then, of course, you know, look at your, you know, instructional videos on all over the web, wherever that's at.
There's a ton of feel involved here.
It's a lot of feel.
Each car is very different.
That's why you kind of have to look. You have to know what your car is, at what speed, in that gear, where is the tack? You kind of need to know that. And do it in 5-mile-an-hour increments. And then at 30, do the same thing at 30 and, you know, at 50 miles an hour in third gear. Where's the tack?
You've gotten like almost spreadsheet specific here. I'm impressed.
I think that's kind of what he's looking for, but you need at least a benchmark. But because it's easy to say, well, it's all about feel. You're listening and you're feeling things. Well, how do you know? Because it's car to car.
Yeah, true.
Every engine is different. It revs true. Easily. Some don't. You just kind of have to go look. So I would say go do some testing.
Mm-hmm.
Start with second gear, then go to third. Those are really, you know, unless you're... you know, fourth gear and higher, that kind of thing. When you're going back down through the gears, you have less chance of over-revving. But as soon as you get to second, third gears, that's where the trouble could start. You need to know where that tack will land.
I'm going to say that one of the biggest things that helped me heel toe is driving a stick shift every day and trying to heel toe every shift.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You just start, because here's what happens. You get it wrong a lot.
Well, then you also start to know, okay, well, I remember from last time that was wrong, but I need to be a little higher than I thought I was. So it's right at the 5,500 mark or whatever.
You start to learn, because here's the crazy thing. Like when we drove all the 50 years of the 911, some of those cars were genuinely hard to heel toe.
Mm-hmm.
And the pedal travel varied drastically. So car to car, it's just like, well, this same foot move works in every other car I've driven today, but doesn't work in this one. So you have to really learn how hard's the pedal, how far do I have to tilt my foot. I mean, there's so many little things. So if it's your own car, the more you do it, the more you'll just realize that that's the amount. I know that sounds just, you know, not conclusive. You've been far more conclusive than I have, but it's interesting
how it might be a little bit too specific, but
we'll see though.
It's a good place to start that just practice, to find out.
Absolutely.
Where, how does my car rev in that gear at that speed?
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. Let's go find out.
Andrew asked, he'd love to see another meetup in the Chicago area in the future. How do we make this happen and how do we decide on meetups in the first place? Andrew, honestly, if I could pick it, and again, Paul and I are doing more and more for the show, so maybe this will happen. But if I could pick it, we would do like 3 domestic meetups a year. We'd mm-hmm. do an East Coast. We'd do a middle of the country. We'd do a West Coast every year. What we've actually been really doing based on our schedule.
Where's that on the calendar?
Seriously. What we've been really doing based on our schedule is we're trying to get at least one done a year mm-hmm. that seems to be able to fit, it has last few years, into the fall of each calendar year. And so what we've been doing is kind of rotating. A couple of years back, we did Chicago. Okay. Last year, we did West Coast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This year, we're doing middle of the country.
Right. Right.
I hope that as early as next year, we'll do a couple and we'll just start staggering through. There's tracks and meetup places all over the nation. Obviously, the next one up, because we're in middle of the country now, would be East Coast again. But we really try to go, where is there a hole in our shoot schedule? Because that obviously is the first thing. Where's there a hole in our shoot schedule?
Right.
And then
right.
can we find a track that is kind of in the part of the country that's next up that has that's interesting to us and has a track day in that hole? And that's why the Utah thing has worked out.
Yeah,
this
agreed.
Year. So we'll see. We've talked about, I don't know if we will, we've talked about maybe trying to go to Laguna again in November, but then we're also looking at our shoot schedule and trying to go, is that going to work? Because
right,
we know what
right.
the date for Laguna would be
yeah.
in November again. Can we get enough stuff shot? And maybe we can, but we aren't even putting that on the calendar yet because we're trying
so
to get
to do before then.
Season 4 and this Utah meetup done first. Yeah.
Wow. All right. So last question for me is from Thomas G22 Instagram. Says that he would love to start making car review videos for fun, but have been told that he has a face for radio. What do I do? Thomas.
I have so many thoughts here.
I want to leave it with this for you, and that is one of the great pleasures in life in anything is going and doing the thing that everybody tells you you can't.
That's fair. That's fair. Yeah.
That is honestly how Todd and I have mm-hmm. done what we've done.
Mm-hmm.
And it applies to anything, YouTube videos, whatever it is, the
yeah.
thing that you want to go do, and everybody says you can't, and you yeah. go and figure out a way to do it anyway.
Well,
that's huge.
It's one of those, it's actually something I heard when I was an adult. I never heard this growing up. It was not the way I was raised. I was raised by Ned Flanders. It was not the way I was raised, okay?
Who has E-type a son, driving Ned
who,
Flanders.
Who has a son named Todd. Anyway, so yeah. But I heard somebody say this as an adult, and I went, that is something I wish I'd heard earlier, and that is asking for forgiveness, not permission. Now, you can take that way too far the other way. When you realize I was raised by Ned Flanders, this was revelatory to me, and I was already not going to go too crazy because I was raised by Ned Flanders. So I'm going to keep driving that joke home because it's so true.
You anybody keep saying this word.
Everybody meets my dad kind of goes, oh, yeah, there it is. I see
it. Think it means what you think it means.
Yeah, anyway. So that freed me up to try things versus waiting on permission to happen because
mm-hmm.
yeah. this show is a great example. My best follow-up question for you, though, is why do you want to do reviews? Do you want to do them just because you would like to do them and try it out? At that point, I say, who cares?
Right, right.
Who cares?
Exactly.
If you want to do them because you want to put yourself out there and get other people's commentary, brace yourself.
Yeah, that's a whole different level.
Okay. But if you're just doing it for fun, you want to say you did it and you want to try to learn to edit and shoot and all these kind of things, it doesn't matter what any of us look like. And I will also say this to you, personal side note. Before starting this show, I was never vain.
Oh, please.
No, seriously. I was never vain. I didn't care. Once you start looking at your own face a lot in the edit room, you start going, I really need to brush my hair better. I need to worry about the fact that shirt looks terrible. These things strike you.
We're all very critical of ourselves. I'm the same way.
I know, but it was funny to me to realize 2 or 3 years into doing the show to realize that honestly, before I started the show, I almost never thought about how I looked.
Hmm.
2 or 3 years into doing the show, after staring at my own face at editorial over and over and over, I started going, I got some stuff to worry about. You know? I mean, it just happens.
Whatever.
So brace yourself for that reality, too. You will suddenly be like, I'm surprisingly vain. Yeah, anyway.
Hey, you've got hair to brush. You know, be happy.
True. And it's still all over the place, which is part
whatever.
Of the fun.
All right. Well, guys, we'll end it there. Thank you a million for writing into us. We really appreciate your questions, as well as social media questions. And we're definitely looking forward to the next time. Cheers, everyone.
Rack your look for spring at Nordstrom Rack and save up to 60% on brands you love. Rag & Bone, Vince, Marc Jacobs, Adidas, Joe's, and more. Great brands, great prices every day at Nordstrom Rack. Score new dresses, denim, sandals, designer bags, and sunglasses, plus updates for the family and home. Get your spring on for less, up to 60% less, today at your Nordstrom Rack store. What will you find?
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.